Thomas, I don't mean to scare you, but how do you feel about formatting?
I'm willing to give it a shot.
You're willing to give it a go? Okay then, brace yourselves, strap yourselves in, and do any other metaphor that means getting ready. It's Tomamat Attack. So, we're going to try something this week. We are almost...
Something we should have done a long time ago, really.
Probably.
I think at the beginning we did attempt to do.
Yeah, I think we did. And I think
we've got a little bit too complacent. Relaxed in our role as podcasters.
I think we did.
Over the last, let's say, 40 episodes.
Yeah, well, we're almost at our 1 year mark, which means I think we should try and whip ourselves into shape. We have some cool things coming for that as well, but we'll talk about them closer to that because we're not one until April 14th.
Really? Ooh. I thought it was the 1st of April.
We decided it and we ordered all the stuff on the 1st of April, but the first podcast apparently wasn't up until the 14th.
Ah. Yeah. Which is coincidentally the date I travel back to the UK.
It is.
For an Easter break.
Ho, ho, ho. Ooh. No, wrong holiday. So what have you been playing, Thomas?
Oh, Matthew, so direct.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, I actually not only been playing games this week, but completing games.
What?
Two of the games started a fair few months ago now, and had left kind of at the end the other week, were Sonic Lost World and Mario 3D World. Two games with a lot of similarities.
Yes.
But yeah, I've completed both of these this weekend. I was up to the final world in Sonic, which I did yesterday. I went through that world and defeated the final bosses, which I'll talk about in a minute. And Mario 3D World, last week I was at the point of Bowser.
Yes.
And I left it because I'd been playing it for a while at that point and thought, I need to just have a break from Mario for a bit. And it turned out to be a week's break. But let's talk about Sonic Lost World first, which is a game I've had some issues with.
I think the issues we have with Sonic Lost World are well documented on this podcast.
Mm. So I won't go into them too much. Overall, I enjoyed it.
Really?
I have to say, for all the frustrations, there's some great moments in the game, but it's let down with some bad level design and bad controls in places. I feel, having played it a lot now, it's a game you have to relearn everything you know about Sonic, really.
Okay.
Well, not everything, but there's new moves and new bits of Sonic running up walls, and the way Sonic controls is slightly different, I'd say, with these new moves and such, that it does take a while to learn his controls and to learn the really weird way the levels are designed.
Yeah, from what I saw of you playing some of the worlds beyond the final world yesterday, because
there is the hidden world bonus stages,
and these aren't including the DLCs ones, which we'll talk about later. It seems to be a bit more focused on precision rather than speed in this game.
Yeah, and this is one of the control issues the game has. You're forced to slow down in places, and what you know about Sonic is he runs fast, and there's a button now for running, and you find yourself at points saying, I can't run through this bit.
Yeah.
But I think the better you get at it, the more competent you can do stuff. So
okay.
you can run through stuff better the more you play it. And as I say, it's a game you learn. As I completed it and went back to replay some levels to get some of the extra medals and such, I could find I played a lot better than I did when I turned it on the first time and was totally thrown off by how different it was
yeah.
in terms of control and level design. So yeah, I've grown to appreciate it more, but it still has its problems.
So you now see it as a flawed genius then, rather than just
genius
a mesh.
is too high a praise
okay.
to give the game. But what I will say about the game is it's the best looking Sonic game to date.
Okay, that feels like a bit of a cop out, but I'll allow it. What do you think of this new DLC?
The Yoshi's Island one was fun and very had a lot of the same elements that you find in Yoshi's Island games. The Zelda one I've hardly touched on yet. My first impressions weren't good because I didn't like the fact it was open world.
Okay.
And again, it went against what I know Sonic is.
Yeah, but haven't they advertised it as a zone? Or is it just like...
It's a zone, yeah. I think they've advertised it as that. I have to go back to it. I played it for a couple of minutes and couldn't work out what to do, so okay. I turned it off and got back to the proper game.
So is it more like a Super Mario 64 level rather than what you've been used to in this game? Kind of like a...
No, it wasn't as good as that.
Okay.
On first impressions, maybe it's going to be the same as with the rest of the game. It's going to take me a moment to adjust.
Okay.
But yeah, it features classic Zelda music remixed with Sonic music. Aesthetically, it looks rather nice. But I'll have to talk more about that next time, I think. But I think it's cool that they're releasing free downloadable content.
Yeah,
they could easily
nice.
Make you pay for this stuff.
Exactly. I mean, admittedly, it's probably a way of trying to pique your interest and make you keep hold of Sonic.
It's strengthening the Nintendo Sonic Alliance, really. Well, they've got it at least for another game. So.
That's true. Yeah, how does that compare to Mario then?
Ah, Mario. Well, overall, Mario has been a flawless experience. Slightly easy, but incredibly enjoyable.
Okay. Did it do the Game Boy Mario kind of thing of New Super Mario Brothers of unlocking worlds once you completed it?
Well, it did unlock a couple of things. It unlocked Super Luigi Brothers on the main menu, which is the original Mario Brothers game with Luigi. And what I noticed about that, having never played it before, or I don't know if it's a new thing... But Luigi controls a lot different than Mario. He's a bit more floaty.
Okay.
But it's a nice little bonus to be given. And that on the main menu, that appears in the bottom left-hand corner of the gamepad screen. You just press on it and there you are. You're playing this bonus game, which is probably in there to celebrate the year of Luigi.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I think what I also got a hint at was there's another world opened. All the fairies kind of gravitate towards this kind of rocky structure in the ocean.
Okay.
And it shows you that on the world map after completing the game. So I think that I can go there and I think it's a world, but I don't know for certain because I haven't tried yet.
Okay.
So the overall, the end boss battle wasn't a very difficult affair.
Right.
I wouldn't say. It was a very impressive, epic moment. And I don't want to spoil too much about it because...
I don't want to either. I want to make terrible puns, but I feel I shouldn't.
Bowser appears in a form you've never seen him in before, which is kind of fun. But yeah, it's not difficult. It's not going to cause you any problems completing the final boss. It's more of a grand finale than a challenging boss fight.
So you could say Bowser's a bit of a pussy.
You could do. More challenging was the first time you fought Bowser in the more traditional Mario 3D world where you chase him in a car and he throws stuff at you.
Yeah.
That was a little bit more challenging. But I think this game's got a really good difficulty level, actually. It's not hard, but a lot of people are going to be able to play it without any frustrations.
Yeah.
But maybe the more seasoned gamer will feel a little bit disappointed there wasn't more challenge.
That's what I'm hoping, that this rocky structure you're talking about is actually a world. We kind of talked about this a few times, about games being made easy.
Yeah.
And I just hope there is a bit of challenge there. Like, I didn't find
there is definitely a bit of challenge in the game, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And it's good that it never feels frustrating. It's like it's challenging, but it never gets to the point where it frustrates you.
Okay.
And some of the best, most challenging games do frustrate you, and it's not always a bad thing. But
Mega Man.
To keep any negative connotations away from Mario 3D World, I think Nintendo have just gone for, let's just make it a pleasant experience, and that is what it is, and it's the best looking game Nintendo ever made.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And there's some great new ideas in there as well for Mario. And it's just a wonderful game that every Wii U owner should have.
I think so.
And experience, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on to Tropical Freeze next then, I guess.
I don't want to do Tropical Freeze until I've finished off
Country Returns.
Duncan Country Returns. I feel that that Wii game will get left if I don't come back to it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And I'm well into that game. Also, I want to do Rayman Origins before I go Rayman Legends.
Yeah, I want to do the same. That's why I haven't touched it.
Yeah. So Origins, again, I'm very near at the end at. So those are the two platform games I'm going to be focusing on next. Because okay. I just love platformers.
Taking a look back.
Yeah.
At some of the Wii classics.
Yeah, don't forget the Wii games.
Yeah. Remember your
I don't think Nintendo will forget the Wii games either.
Neither do I. I think they'll be making a eShop appearance rather soon.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo haven't forgotten the GameCube titles, have they? We're most recently bringing Wind Waker back. And I was starting to think, maybe, because there hasn't been a more kind of Mario Adventure-type game, they might bring back Sunshine.
Perhaps.
That's just a theory.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, maybe. In between now and the next Mario game, maybe the stopgap, like they've done with Zelda.
I think the Sunshine's a very polarizing Mario game, though. Like, you know,
you
but then again,
Nintendo
so
want
is
to
Wind
forget
Waker.
About
so is Wind Waker. Like, a lot of people I know hate that game, and it's my favorite, as I've talked about
Sunshine
many times.
Sunshine would be a great summer release for Nintendo. Maybe they just surprise us the next Nintendo Direct and say, here's HD Sunshine.
Yeah, perhaps.
Why not?
Could be cool. Yeah. I'd be up for it.
I'd play it again. Yeah.
What else have you been playing?
Well, let's talk about Seaman, a feature which had disappeared from our YouTube channel.
It has. Slightly.
We had a playlist on there. We were playing Seaman Daily, for those who aren't in the know about that one. And it stopped suddenly. It will explain why. You could probably see, if you watch the video, see our frustrations in the last video we uploaded with Seaman. We missed a day. We mutually agreed to say we're going to leave it now because it started to become a bit of a chore.
It was a bit of a time pressure. Like, we're looking into getting a new Mac this week, so we can actually edit videos a lot faster. But as it was, my old iMac was dying, and it took roughly around an hour to import those 10 minutes of video. Then I had to edit it. Then I had to adjust the sound to it. Then I had to export it, which took about 3 hours.
You say that
and then I had
like
to...
it was purely a technical issue.
Oh, no, but like, I mean, you know, playing the game for 10 minutes, admittedly while being insulted by Seaman, was a bit of a pain in the ass. But that was doable. It was just kind of the extra work we had to do on top for the moment, which is my frustration with it.
There is a real commitment to having to play a game every day. If it's only for 10 minutes, you know, because we both have lives.
Well, you know.
And we missed a day. My intention was after we gave up filming it that we continue it. And I did after missing one day. And I managed to feed Seaman and clean his tank and leave him in a happy mood. Unfortunately, after that day, I happened to leave another day. Upon coming back, Seaman was very hungry, but not dead or anything, which I was quite relieved about. I went to the insect tank to find some food for him, and there I found a very terrifying-looking moth creature. I noticed that the insects in the insect tank have now developed Seaman faces.
Yes, which terrifies me. No,
the moth hatched, and as it was the only food I had in there, I did have some more food in there. I had a caterpillar in there, which I fed him first.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't enough. Probably the other Seaman in the tank had it. And then put the moth in, which the moth fluttered around the surface for a while and then just landed on the top, and he wouldn't eat it. He kept saying he was hungry. Dying of hunger, in fact. But I couldn't feed him, so...
Yeah.
I turned it off and I haven't gone back to it since, but I think it's safe to say that Martin is now deceased.
Oh, poor Martin. I guess we have to film the death of Martin and then do some kind of like Nordic burial ceremony where we take Seaman and we put it on a raft and we burn the game.
I do hope our friend Martin's all right. That was safe because we haven't seen him for 2 days.
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he wasn't linked to Seaman. I'm sure he's okay.
But yes. I think we need to give Martin a fitting send-off because I enjoyed looking after him, I have to say, for the most part. It would have been an easier task if he wasn't so irritating.
Yes.
But there we go. At least you can see a little bit of Seaman. And if that whets your appetite, then do try the game.
A few of our Twitter followers have said they are very much interested in Seaman since seeing our videos, so that's kind of nice.
That's good. If only we've raised awareness of the game...
Then we can sleep.
That's great.
Well, at night.
Every now and again, I think Seaman has to return to remind gamers that it exists and it's a very unique gaming experience. And if we've helped keep him alive,
yes, then by killing him,
by killing him, then we've succeeded.
Yeah, well, like, I see what you mean now about it making a good 3DS title. Because, I mean, you've touched upon the idea of playing a game every day is a bit hard work. As my cramped wrists earlier on last year can attest to with Animal Crossing, it is work to play a game every day and have to make sure you have to do certain tasks and stuff.
But it can be a very rewarding experience.
Definitely is.
Especially since Seaman is very personable. It's very unique in that way that he kind of gets to know you. And he feels like he's alive, which is very unique.
Yeah, it
video
is
games.
Kind of weird. You do kind of get attached to him. Like, I'm not talking like Tamagotchi style, like, oh, I got to feed the Tamagotchi. You actually, it kind of has a personality.
It takes
and kind
it to
of
the next level because he talks to you and he wants to know things about you and you share things you'd only really share with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Other than that, I picked up a few games this week. I picked up Super Mario Kart, which has recently been released, I think this week, on the Wii U.
Yes.
Not recently been released, on the Wii U. And I had a little bit of money left in my wallet, so after playing your Game Boy copy of Quicks last night, I picked that up on the eShop.
It's on the eShop?
For the DS.
Oh, that's interesting.
The 3DS. It's actually one of the cheaper Game Boy games, I think £2.50. Whereas a few more are a bit more expensive in that one.
Yeah, fair enough.
And also Fez, which it got released this week on all PlayStation formats.
Which I love. It's one of my favourite games. I'm sure I've sung the praises of Fez on our end of year show talking about last year's things. But any game that makes me learn another language to get cubes and collectibles, which is something I never
this
ever do.
This is not a
games.
Necessity, is it? To learn this language.
No,
that you speak
it's just
of.
A... amazing extra, because when you get to the end of Fez, when you collect the 20 sphere things you have to collect, or cubes, there are negative cubes that you can then collect, and I found myself so hungry for Fez. So enthralled was I by the Fez experience that I needed to collect everything, because I wanted more of the game and I didn't want it to end. Honestly, you get there, Tom. I think we should do a TMA quickie looking at Fez.
I think so, yeah, definitely. Now it's obviously so current being re-released, and how great is it that it's on every PlayStation format? You buy it for one format, you get it for all.
Yay.
Even PS4.
Yes.
Which is, it's really something, I think.
Yeah, it's ace. I'm really looking forward to playing it on the PS4. Obviously, it'll show off the graphical prowess of the PS4, much like Towerfall does.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking forward to having it as part of a games collection for this current generation, so I can play it for years to come when my Xbox 360 is put in a box somewhere. Because
we haven't played it for a very long time.
I haven't. No, I
touched it.
No, not really. I was going to buy Walking Dead for it last week, but I couldn't find it anywhere, so I didn't.
Yeah. Well, my first impressions of Fez were very good. I'd not actually played the game. Well, I think I might have played the demo, actually. Probably did. But not for a long time. And it's very engrossing, and I found my time with it passed very quickly, because it's a very enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you more about my feelings with Fez and more play, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. You can also probably see it, as we said, in the TMA quickie, which we'll probably do in the week to come.
But they were all download titles. I haven't bought anything physically this week.
Wowzers.
I'm still waiting on my copy of Yaiba.
Have you not had it?
No, it's not come yet.
Interesting.
They didn't dispatch it till well after it was released.
Is that with Amazon?
It's with Zavvi.
Ah.
I think that might have been because I cancelled my PS3 pre-order.
And then you put yourself in the back of the queue while
pre-order.
Doing so.
Yeah. But I anticipate that'll be with us this week. So
okay, we'll give it a crack when it comes. Yeah,
Matt.
Going to, before I talk about the games I've picked up, I've been doing some car booting. It is the season of the car boot here in Denmark. Flea markets are starting up, and the first big one was in a town called Herning yesterday, called the Sproger Market, which is generally a big car show, but they have like three halls full of people bringing crap from their house and like professional dealers and stuff, and so I went there with my hat in hand looking for Game Boy games, and lo and behold, I found some. But I'm going to revive an old feature of Tom and Matt Attack that I've been too lazy to do for the last couple of weeks. It's a link to the past.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Dane Steal of the Week.
That's coming later.
Is it? Have you got that? Oh, good.
A Link to the Past. A Link to the Past was originally released on the Super Nintendo in Europe on September 24th, 1992. This day also saw the release of Art of Fighting's international release on the Neo Geo arcade cabinet. Developed and published by SNK, the Art of Fighting is the first SNK fighting game to feature character designs by illustrator Shinkiro, who would later design characters for Fatal Fury and King of Fighters, respectively. King of Fighters 13, a great game in its own right, was published in North America by Atlus, who were the makers of the Persona and the Shin Megami Tensei series, now owned by Sega. Sega announced on October 1st that its famous Blue Hedgehog would appear in the upcoming Smash Brothers game for Wii U and 3DS that is currently being developed by Bandai Namco and Sora Limited, a studio founded in 2005 by former HAL Labs director Mashiro Sakurai. Sakurai was the director of 1992's Kirby's Dream Land for the Game Boy, but an uncredited director also on 1997's Kirby.
Kirby. Wait for it. You can't remember what it's called.
Star Stacker. Bollocks. Hidden at the bottom of a pile. Yeah, as you can hear by the ruffling of that gigantic pile of Game Boy games. I picked up a load of Game Boy games this week.
Oh, that's not unlike you, Matthew.
Yeah, well, it was a relatively cheap price. They were 5 for 100 krona, and then the other two I picked up for 20 krona each off different stalls. So I got Kirby Star Stacker, which apparently is the only original Kirby puzzler on the Game Boy. Like, there's a few more. There's like Kirby's Pinball, and there's the Block one. I've forgotten the name of it. Block Kirby's Blast or something like that. It's essentially Breakout. But like Kirby Star Stacker is apparently dubbed as the only original puzzle game on the Game Boy, which I think is a load of bollocks. Because
it's
the only
original puzzle game, not the only original Kirby puzzle game.
Well, it's not a cloned puzzle game by featuring Kirby. It isn't.
What about the other one you've got there?
Yeah, but that's a clone as well. But I'm
saying,
is
it a clone of what?
Lots of games.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Essentially, Kirby Star Stacker is pretty much Dr. Mario meets Tetris. It's that kind of feel of just stacking two by two, and then they erase things. And when you manage to match two things together, if they're next to a star, then it causes Kirby to throw a star, which deletes rows of columns.
Sounds like Dr. Mario.
It's very much like Dr. Mario, but it's fun. Also picked up Yoshi's Cookie, which is a puzzler as well, which also is kind of the same feel, but it's a lot easier. Like, it's matching two things together and then they delete things. Well, it's actually, telling a lie, it's rows of four, not rows of two in that game, where you're matching cookies because Yoshi likes to bake for some reason.
This one belonged to Christian originally.
It did. That's the wonderful thing about picking these games up in Denmark. They have got a lot of things
Written on the cartridge.
Yeah, like this Kirby Star Stacker was owned by Pernilla Christiansen of Esbjerg. I picked up a copy of Speedy Gonzales by Sunsoft, which we'll talk about later, which is owned by Greetha. I don't know who that is. Never heard that name. Picked up a copy of Ninja Gaiden Shadow. It doesn't say Shadow Warrior, though it's what it's called in Europe. Copy of Kirby's Dream Land. I picked up Mighty Morphin Power Rangers The Movie, which I'd never seen before. A game called Super Battle Tank, which is probably the worst game I've ever played. Jurassic Park, which is always fun. Pre-aforementioned Dr. Mario. Solomon's Club, the Game Boy version of Solomon's Key. Tom and Jerry Frantic Antics. And another puzzle game which involves matching dice, and I didn't really understand it, but I only gave it a quick play, called Rocks, which I'd never seen before either.
That was this week's haul.
That was this week's haul of Game Boy games. I also bought a Play It Loud Game Boy, a red one of the original Game Boys, with four games that I can't remember off the top of my head. They're pretty standard, like Mario and Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Super Mario 2, and something else. I think it might have been Wario Land, for 120 krona.
Did you buy that online?
I did. I bought it off a Danish website.
So you're waiting for it to be delivered?
I am.
Have you checked the letterbox?
No, I haven't.
Because someone delivered something yesterday morning.
Really? Yeah. I think it only got posted yesterday, but I'll have a look.
Okay.
Maybe downstairs. Maybe waiting for me. That'd be cool. So a lot of Game Boy games. I've played through them all. Highlights, probably. I really like Solomon's Club. Jurassic Park was nice. Yoshi's Cookie, Star Stacker were good, as well as Dr. Mario, obviously. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game was interesting, but out of these, Ninja Gaiden, obviously, was great as well. The game I most enjoyed playing on the Game Boy this week isn't actually one I bought in this pile. It's one I previously bought in a dud lot to get this crazy arcade thing that clips over a Game Boy. And that's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yes.
A title that me and Thomas...
We do a feature on this, definitely.
We are definitely going to.
It's a very unique game.
It's actually very good as well. It's kind of got weird, like, it's an RPG really, but it's also like an action RPG that
it's
kind
also
of,
like a text adventure.
I was gonna say, it's got a text adventure thing where you can search rooms and stuff by pressing select, and then occasionally you'll run into a load of enemies who aren't just like a standard enemy which you slash on the screen, and it becomes kind of like a tower defense where you've got three or four people and you have to defend your men against this onslaught of waves coming, kind of in a centipede top-down style. And then it has like a one-on-one brawler aspect to it as well.
Yeah.
which is kind of weird, but surprisingly fun game. We were taking the piss out of it, thinking, oh my God, this is going to be terrible, like Hook or Gremlins.
Gremlins isn't terrible.
Oh, I think Gremlins 2 is a terrible game.
I don't play Gremlins 2. And I play the NES one.
No, I'm on about the Game Boy game. Oh.
I assumed it would be similar.
No, you'll experience the horror of that. I'm going to pick it up soon.
just to experience the horror
again. Just to show
again.
You the horror of it. But no, it's a really good game. We'll talk about it more, I guess, on a video. But then that leaves us with the wonderful...
We have to mention...
Speedy Gonzales.
Speedy Gonzales, don't
by
we?
By Sunsoft, you know, who I foresee generally as a quality developer of games. Like
not a developer who'd rip off Sonic the Hedgehog so blatantly.
Yeah. to say the idea of Speedy Gonzales, for those of you unfamiliar with the Looney Tunes character, is that he's a very, very fast Mexican mouse who runs everywhere. And so, naturally, someone's saying, hey, let's make a game like that, only we'll just make Sonic for the Game Boy.
It's fair enough that he runs fast. You know, that's something we see in quite a few platformers, a fast sort of character. But it's the fact that they've lifted elements like the springs and the loops.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they could have done a little bit more subtly than they have in this game.
But, like, the checkpoints are also kind of like the signs at the end of a Sonic level in that you hit them and they spin around and then they got a Speedy Gonzales icon on them. It's fucking awful.
But then, I didn't think what I saw you play, that the game... seemed bad.
No, it seemed really fun. But I was just kind of like, oh, great, I've got Sonic for my Game Boy now, which is nice. I actually saw a Sonic bootleg a couple of weeks back that I was trying to buy, but the guy had already sold it. And apparently it's just a hacked ROM of Speedy Gonzales that someone's put Sonic into, and apparently it plays just like Sonic. Surprise, surprise.
There we are.
That's pretty much my Game Boy haul, Tom.
Yeah. So you've been mostly playing Game Boy this week, or have you played anything else?
No, not really, to be honest. I played a bit of Luftrausser, played a bit of Threes. But no, I've been very busy this week, so I haven't really had time to dive into anything. I played a bit of Bumpy's Party yesterday with you by Danish Developer Napnock.
Yeah, this is Spin the Bottle.
Yes.
Bumpy's Party for the Wii U. Game that I think we've mentioned previously, haven't we? Because I played it a few weeks ago.
You did, yeah.
When you weren't here. But you finally got to experience it.
I did.
And you enjoyed. You seem to be enjoying it.
It's pretty fun. Yeah. Like, my only thing was I wanted more people so the rounds would last longer because it seemed very fast-paced with only four of us.
I'd never played the camera games before where you have to hold the gamepad facing you and...
shoulder to shoulder and spin round in a circle.
And try and find the butterflies.
Yeah.
You move around in that kind of... What augmented? Is it augmented reality?
Yeah, it's augmented. Yeah. It's kind of like a Demperman kind of thing. Where
Demperman or Face Raiders.
Of course.
But that's a great fun game and one of the best. Just proves the Wii U's great party machine still.
Exactly.
Like the Wii was previously.
I think that's a great thing. I think this could almost come bundled with the console as kind of like a this is the fun you could have with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Which I very much enjoyed. Like, it's even got DLC, right? No, it's got
I think
some extra mini games.
That photograph stuff we played, photography stuff, was new.
When I
played it last time, none of those appeared.
Really?
So I think I downloaded some sort of update.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I think.
Cool.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to playing more with a few more people. As I'm looking forward to playing Towerfall. I still haven't got my controllers yet, but hopefully this coming week we'll have another Towerfall Tuesdays and we'll smash into Towerfall Ascension on the PS4.
That's great. I like Towerfall.
So do I. Right. I guess we should try and whip this show back into format in shape and talk about some gaming news.
Gaming news?
Something we've not done on this podcast for a very long time.
Really?
I think so.
Things happen.
I think we kind of dip in and out.
We dip in and out, that's right. We never have it formatted.
No, it's because
we usually talk about the stuff that interests us.
Yeah. Well, like, some of it's interesting. That's why I kind of picked it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with probably the least interesting to us, but kind of weird at the same time. Call of Duty Ghosts, new DLC, which comes out on April the 3rd, called Devastation. Standard fare, coming out on Xbox Live. It features four maps, new weapons and stuff. But the people of Activision have been teasing this last week with hashtags such as Get the Chopper and If It Bleeds, which, as some of you may be familiar with, is from Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator. And they then talked about and showed a gameplay clip, there was essentially a guy running around a desert environment with a big machine gun. You could hear the predator clicking noise, and then you saw something in that kind of halo camouflage style coming towards it, and then it came off before anything happened.
This is interesting.
It does seem like a mini campaign almost.
It's continuing a trend, isn't it?
With it is.
Call of Duty, because didn't they feature Jason Friday the 13th?
They did recently. Jason, yeah. I believe Black Ops 2 also had like a zombies mode with Freddy Krueger, Buffy, and a few other Machete as well. It's kind of weird. This whole line between like video games and action films is just become slowly blurred together.
I think it's because a lot of people see Call of Duty as the shooter. And rather than releasing specific games based around franchises, it seems to be where franchises come to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
To
get that. Maybe that's it. Maybe we haven't really seen any
Call
licensed
of Duty's a shell.
Games. Yeah.
It's a shell for everything else which might enter it.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Imagine a lot of people who are into Call of Duty are very much into Predator and this kind of bravado that film has.
And it's a good thing. I mean, the Call of Duty plays very well. If you want to play a Predator shooter game, then it might as well be in the Call of Duty
engine,
mold, yeah.
I'm kind of tempted to try it. Like, we don't own Ghosts, but friend of mine does, and I'm assuming he'll get the DLC, so hopefully I'll get a chance to play it. It's kind of interesting though that they're doing these kind of movie tie-in things. It seems to be a big thing, but a lot of people on the internet, as they usually do, very cynical about this, are kind of saying, well, has COD run out of ideas that it's got to do?
It can only go so far. It's quite, for me at least, this kind of modern warfare thing is rather dull.
Yeah.
So anything to make it a little bit more colourful and interesting, I'd embrace it rather than let's have more of the same. We've had enough of that already, haven't we?
I kind of wish it went uber futuristic, sorry, not uber realistic, that's already there. And just kind of goes to Titanfall-esque, gigantic mechs and stuff.
It's been moving that way anyway with Black Ops.
Yeah. I mean, Battlefield did it a couple of years ago, right? Like, there wasn't there Battlefield 2042 or something like that that was set?
I think so.
Set in
the future. I'm not a big first-person shooter fan, so.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting. Sure. I mean, Titanfall will probably cause the shift towards more futuristic first-person shooters coming out now anyways.
Titanfall looks exciting. It looks like Call of Duty with robots.
Yeah, but it looks more frantic. It kind of from what I've seen of it, it's kind of got the customizability of something like Call of Duty, where you can change your weapon loadouts and all this kind of stuff. But it kind of reminds me of old school arena first person shooters like Quake and
I like the pace of those
Unreal
games,
Tournament.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm kind of really looking forward to playing it. It's not out on the 360 until the 11th of April, and then I guess I will turn on my 360 for the first time in a long while and have a go.
Yeah, hopefully they optimize it for that platform. Well,
fingers crossed. Speaking about the internet going absolutely mental about something, Facebook have bought Oculus Rift.
Oh yeah, this is the big news this last week, isn't it?
Well, when Facebook, a social media network, throws down $2 billion in cash and shares.
They obviously see it as the future.
They do, and Mark Zuckerberg actually came out last week and was talking about how Sony's Project Morpheus and something Microsoft are now doing that I'll talk about later aren't clear in their vision, because they're trying to tie this VR headsets and stuff to a console platform, and he's saying that this Oculus Rift has the potential to be its own platform.
Standalone.
Just as a headgear console, almost.
Which makes it more universal for everyone.
Yeah, and it's caused a backlash with people who were developing for it and things. Obviously, have you heard that Notch
immediately
withdrew Minecraft?
Yeah, this concept, didn't he, for a virtuality Minecraft game?
He did. Apparently, it was going to be a demo that came with the Oculus Rift. Apparently,
a free.
There was going to be a stripped down version of Minecraft, so people could kind of explore that world in VR. And he just kind of said, "Facebook creeped me out. I don't want anything to do with them." Kind of thing. We were in very far along in talks about it, kind of thing, and now I don't want anything to do with it. I put $10,000 into an Oculus development kit, and I didn't want it to be so Facebook could get a buyout out of it. He was saying, like, he thought the...
So on principle, he decided not to pursue that project.
Apparently so, but I mean, you know, there's been some news that's then come after it, like one of Valve's lead developers on their own VR thing called Michael Abrash has joined Oculus VR now, this company. He famously worked on Windows NT shooters like Quake with John Cormack, who made Doom, who is one of the CEOs of Oculus. And Cormack is probably one of the smartest people on the planet, from what I've heard in other gaming media. Like, the man bought a Ferrari and then was just like, oh, I know how I can increase the engine and make this car faster. Like, he's just this brilliant, brilliant technical mind. And I have faith that if he is on board, like, he left ID, the people who make Doom and stuff, to be a part of Oculus, and this must have been in the works then, that he could say, like, okay, I'm jumping ship. And I kind of have enough faith in him from these amazing achievements that he's done in the past, and like how he's always tried to push games development and a tech side, that it could be something exciting, that obviously he must have agreed to it, or at least been on board with the idea of it, and now that people from Valve are leaving to go there, sounds like an exciting opportunity.
The way I see it is it's very exciting, because I don't think without the funding from Facebook, without Facebook buying Oculus, we might never have seen the Oculus Rift. Is that the situation? That seemed to me like without the extra money behind it, it might not happen.
Essentially, they would have released it and it would have been like a $350 item, I think. But it would have just been a PC peripheral. I think their vision for it and what it could do is much grander than that.
I think I've also heard that Facebook as a company isn't going to just keep hold of it and use it for their own purposes.
No, this is what people say.
Yeah, this is what I've been hearing, that they're going to let other people use it for different things.
Well, like, so I look at it, right, and I kind of think, well, Facebook's earning this ridiculous amount of money every day through ads and stuff, and while people protest, they're like, oh, I don't want promoted posts and I don't want ads and all this kind of stuff. This money's being generated whether you want it or not, and I guess it's just kind of there, you know? I guess they kind of have the option to go, yeah, this looks cool, we'll take a risk of $2 billion on this, because it must just be like peanuts, you know? Like, I know that's such a horrible thing to say, but, like, I guess they can afford to take risks like that.
Let's see what happens with that one. It'd be interesting to keep our eyes on it.
Yeah. Back of that, of course, Sony had revealed last week their Project Morpheus headgear stuff, which is apparently very cool. Microsoft bought a company, and I'm never going to pronounce this game, called Osterhout Design Group for $150 million. Apparently this has been in the works since November, but it's only now been finalised, kind of thing. And it's the same with Facebook. Like, Facebook spent so much money on Oculus that they had to announce it now, even though there was no reason to show it and stuff yet. But obviously when you spend $2 billion on something, you kind of need to justify it to shareholders and other things, so they've had to come out with it early. But this thing with Microsoft's been in the works for a while, and essentially what Osterhout are a company that makes wearable computers, and they work primarily with the US government, which has got some people kind of freaked out after all the stuff that happened with the Kinect and things. But essentially what it looks like is Google Glasses with like a holographic interface kind of thing. So could be cool, you know, wear these glasses, see all your health stats and stuff on these glasses while you're playing. And but I don't know, like, it doesn't seem either. To, from what I saw of the images and what things like TechCrunch and stuff said about it, I don't think it's on the same level, at least from the outside, as Project Morpheus or the Oculus.
Sounds a little gimmicky.
It does. But sounds a little bit desperate, perhaps, but we don't know. Obviously, like, they purchased something like 75 patents or whatever from this company. So fingers crossed something cool will come out of it. I don't really care, you know, like, who makes these things and who's developing them. As long as I get to play cool games, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Other news, kind of talked about it earlier, but Animal Crossing has sold 7.48 million copies worldwide, Nintendo has announced, which makes me feel a lot better about myself and my inability to stop playing that game last year. My crack-like addiction to Animal Crossing has been justified by another 7.48 million people, which is nice. To put it in perspective, The Last of Us has sold 6 million copies, so it means it's selling more than one of the biggest selling games of last year. And then to put it in perspective with something else, there's a multi-platform game, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, i.e. again, one of the best selling games of last year. It sold 10 million. So when you think that it's only on a 3DS and what is generally seen as a niche game, it's done crazy well. I think Bravely Default only sold something like 350,000 copies in the States. And when you compare it to this, it's just like, ah.
I still fail to see the appeal of Animal Crossing.
It's just the social aspect and stuff. And they've been on, I saw an article on Polygon where they were kind of talking about the new things they're going to do now if they do a console version, and like the communication aspect between people and stuff. And they're going to play on this idea of community and things even more. So I'm looking forward to the exciting future of Animal Crossing. And then Microsoft have registered a trademark through a Korean website, has picked up this little blip of this game being registered. Tentacles Enter the Mind. My immediate thought is, as they are part of Microsoft Studios, is that it could be another game from PlesPlay, which I would be very, very happy
because
with.
Because they made a game called Tentacles.
They did. originally on Windows Marketplace, and now it's on iOS and Android as well, I believe. But it's a damn good game. You should pick that up. Also get Max and the Magic Marker and Max the Curse of Brotherhood if you have an Xbox
One. Is that
One.
Out now?
It's on Xbox One, yes.
You see, because not having an Xbox One, totally didn't realise it was out.
From what I've played a bit, it's a good game. As it's the only Xbox One game I've played, I would say it's the best Xbox One game.
There we go.
So you should go buy it. And then we're going to broach topics, Thomas. Another news article I saw today kind of got me thinking, especially off the back of us playing Speedy Gonzales, that the people who made Threes, i.e. Asher Volmer, are very upset that there's a load of Threes clones flooding the marketplaces.
How do you kind of maintain exclusivity to a concept?
Yeah, this is
true. I could have worded that better. You know,
I know what you're saying. Like,
can they trademark the gameplay?
It isn't really that that's annoying them about it. There's been a host of all of these rip-off games. Like, there was one called Fives, which is instead of multiples of three, it's multiples of fives.
But it's basically taking their hard work, their concept that they've created.
Yeah, and just
creating money from it.
A basic game from it for free. So they're
someone's already done all the hard work for them.
Yeah, exactly. And they've published on their website, and I'm currently working through, and it's a fascinating read. Essentially, the documentation process of the last 14 months of working on Threes, and starts at the very bare basics of just like a prototype concept of the game, and just works down through like this 570 emails. There's all these different builds of the game published online, and it's just showing their work. Which is amazing, because I've never seen anything like it. And you like look at Threes, and it's such an accessible, beautiful, dare I say, game. You can just pick up and play, but it's got this depth of strategy to it that's just amazing. You don't really see in many puzzlers these days. But like, just the thought process has gone behind it, and they've kind of come out and they've said there's these games. Originally, there was a game called 1024, and then there was a game that cloned that, released on the internet, called 2048, which is double that. And then there was an app made, which isn't by the same people who made the website, 2048, called 2048 as an app. And then it got traction by things like the LA Times published an article praising 2048 with no mention of Threes. And 2048 is now currently the top of the free app marketplace, while Threes isn't even in the top 10 anymore. And it's just crazy.
I can see how this can quite easily happen.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's nothing new, is it? Like, Asher Volmer was saying he was on a plane just now. There's a great thing on Polygon called Friends List, which is a daily video blog they post, and they were talking to him about it. And he said he's on vacation, and on his way over there, he saw three kids on a plane on an iPhone playing 2048. And he's just like, it's just infuriating. Like, all of this hard work, all of this love and attention they've put into Threes, and then there's just people playing.
Yeah, hey, we did it first, but they're none the wiser, are they? They don't know.
No, and this is the thing, you know? There's no, like, guard against it, I guess. I mean, like, look at Flappy Bird. Like, look how many Flappy Bird clones there were. But I mean, like, this isn't a new thing.
I mean, Flappy Bird isn't that of original of a concept.
No, of course it isn't. But like, I'm so glad that that game will hopefully remain just like a blemish in gaming history. It was a flash in the pan of February.
It was a funny time, wasn't it? But I've not played the original Flappy Bird, so I can't comment on its quality, but a lot of people seem to be enjoying it. I played a terrible Xbox Live indie version of Flappy Bird.
I played many of the clones that came out after it to try and get the feel of it, which is apparently, according to someone who'd played it, our friend Matt Kipling, I showed him one and he goes, yeah, that's Flappy Bird. Just with a different sprite. So, like, it's not a good game. Like, it's a terrible game. Like, it's a really badly made free-to-play game that's just tough to be challenging so people play it. And it's just kind of... It was released months before it kind of took off. And then I guess some people started playing it and they told their friends. It was just word-of-mouth marketing.
Is it the new Angry Birds?
Yes.
This is it.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, people get this idea of, like, the next big thing. And then
it's a bird.
Yeah, catches fire.
And people like birds.
They do. Apparently, app-based bird games are the future.
Yeah, Bird Mania on the 3DS as well. That's a popular bird-based game. At least it got some good reviews.
Interesting. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, there's plenty of Angry Birds clones as well, aren't there? I remember a time of Angry Fish... Xbox Live Indie, they tried everything, but the quality of these games rarely stood up to the original Angry Birds.
Yeah. I remember when the apps market first launched and you just got these million games that were all the same tower defense game. I don't even know which one was the original, but you just got these hundreds of tower defense games and like... Look at all the rip-offs to, like, Farmville when that hit and, like, Candy Crush Saga and then...
You've also got a million Endless Runners as well.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, you had lots of them as well, nicking that concept of, like, you can only have one life, so it's how far you get, and then that's your score, and then the app doesn't work anymore, and all this kind of, like, gimmicks that they involve in apps. It's just crazy, but I mean, it's not new, is it? Like, we were talking about the Speedy Gonzales game, and it's just Sonic. Like, it's just the concept of Sonic on a Game Boy cart. And then you look at other things. I've got this list here, like, of Zalga and Galga, Defender and Guardian. Like, this has been a trend since the 80s. This has existed since games have had a heyday, like Asteroids and Meteors. There's just so many games that are the same... concept, the same spiritual, like...
I mean, I was going to say it's the same with music and film, but it's not quite, because it's not to that level of similarity.
No.
I mean, you may get a film that's similar to another film in theme and such, and yes, occasionally people do rip off other movies, but not in the same way that this is has always happened with video games, is it? Once you have that core concept of a game that's you just take and repackage.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, like...
Because the nature of gameplay, I guess.
You look at Pac-Man, like, think of all the hundreds of thousands of Pac-Man clones there were. And, like, I mean, even Nintendo were guilty of it. Like, Devil World is essentially a Pac-Man clone.
Devil World is now available for a download on the 3DS.
Interesting, I will perk that up rather than paying the 100 quid a European cartridge costs. Yeah, it frustrates me, though, because, like... Think of all the people who are developing games, and like Vlambeer have been hit by it so many times. Like, there was a Super Creative Box ripoff, and after they announced Ridiculous Fishing, there was a game like Ridiculous Fishing straight onto the App Store.
How do you stop it from happening? How can you?
I guess it's awareness, really, isn't it? Like, and in this day and age where it's really hard to market anything to anyone, how do you raise awareness and kind of stand up and be counted and say, hey, I did this first? And it's horrible that, like, there is this weird culture within video games where everyone just goes, oh, I like that. I'm gonna make one of those games. That's earning a lot of money. I'm just going to rip that off.
And the problem being it can damage, I think, the reputation of the original game if there's so many games which are of a lesser quality, which
definitely
have the same core gameplay. It kind of... Then when you think about that game, you just think of all the poor rip-offs of it.
Yeah. I was just playing the... 2048 after listening to the Friends List thing, and Shavoma, I can't remember who he said it, but he said essentially like Threes is like going out for a nice meal, and 2048 is the junk food equivalent. Like,
that's a great way of putting it, a junk food equivalent.
It's got none of the depth. Like, honestly, like, I just pretty much mashed left, right, and up and down. And I got a crazy score, like threes. I think my top score was around 10,000, something like that. Like in this, I hit like 30,000 by just essentially not really playing it and just kind of listening to this interview while I was doing it. It's so like based on this idea of instant gratification. It's so easy, and I can see why people are downloading it. Like, because it just it's this instant hit of gameplay, but you can pretty much, as they say in the same video on Friends List, just kind of go through it in one sitting and just do it. Like, it's mental. Like, but as they also touch upon in that video, like, it's really scary that people can't see the difference in the quality rather than paying like a quid for threes and then having this three
always
game.
Go for the free version if it's available. Yeah,
and that's horrible. Like,
but I will as well if it's available and I know no better. If I knew better, then yes, you know, obviously I get the better version, but people always want stuff for free.
They do. That's the thing. But I mean, I guess you can kind of combat against it in things like Speedy Gonzalez must have surely been brought up as like, what the hell are you doing, Sunsoft? This is Sonic. Like, surely that lawsuit must have happened.
Do you think?
Oh, must have, right? Like, someone must have played this from Sonic Team. Someone must have gone, oh, great, Sunsoft game.
But
on
can
the
they
Boy.
Do anything legally? I don't know how the legal side of it works.
Well, from what
because it's not directly taking what the code that they've made. It's just taking, you could say, an inspiration.
Yeah, but from what I remember of the What You Know gaming videos on Pac-Man, like, the whole international copyright law of video games is based around people ripping off Pac-Man. And, like, how everyone just kind of copied this idea of a maze with these ghosts that follow a certain algorithm that follow you around and stuff. So, like, there is a statute of appeal for these things. And, I mean, obviously, people say, like, hey, this is my code, and then game makers get sued over it, so...
Like the recent then, thing about the Middle-Earth game.
Yeah, with Assassin's Creed
Assassin's
stuff in
Creed,
it.
Assassin's Creed, one of the guys working on that, said that was his code. He could see his code in the game.
Yeah.
And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's scary, I guess. How are people robbing coding from other people?
I guess so. I mean, it used to happen a lot, from what I understand, in like the early 90s and 2000s and stuff. But, yeah, it's kind of annoying. But then it gets that horrible line. And obviously, like, I'm not saying this is the case here. Threes is obviously the game that this love was poured into, and these are copies. But then I guess the argument is, where do you draw the line of inspiration, as it's always dubbed in design? Like, you can be inspired by something. Like, obviously, JRPGs have got this whole battle mechanic of wizard that was then in Dragon Quest, that was then in Final Fantasy. Yeah. And how did games evolve if you just say, like, we made a racing game?
If you can see a progression in it, you know, if you can see them taking something and doing something different with it, then I guess that's admirable. But it's the integrity in which you do it, I think.
I guess
and
so.
And if it's blatant, then, yeah, you can't really support...
No, I think that's the thing, right? I guess it's just a moral high ground, which unfortunately a lot of people don't really have.
No, they don't have it. So they
we've kind of created this culture with the internet of instant gratification. I was almost said internet gratification then. Just this idea of like everything you want is available to you in seconds, be it music, be it films, and now games. Like,
the food analogy is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, the junk food one, you don't wait around for it. You know, it's cheap, it's cheerful. It will entertain you. It will satisfy you for a few hours, maybe, and then you'll get hungry again.
Yeah.
At least if you get a quality meal, then you won't get hungry until late dinner time.
I guess so. And then you can eat more threes.
Yeah.
Get a quality batch of threes is what we're telling you. It's available in the iOS and Android stores.
Yeah,
I think you should play it. It's a very good game.
It will satisfy your hunger much better.
It will. If you're in doubt, check out our YouTube and my Matt's apps, my first one, which will be returning this week. Yay!
Yay!
And because April is coming up, which I'll talk about in a second, but I played threes as part of my first Matt's apps because it was such a great game that I wanted to share it with the world. But now, obviously, it's caught on fire and lots of people are playing it. But it's good. Check it out. Yeah, I guess I'll touch upon that briefly then. Now, we have the first week of April, Tom. And yeah. This is essentially for the month of April. I will be playing an app a day.
No, not a day.
Maybe not filming it, maybe not doing editing and stuff around it, but at least giving it a little bit of a write-up on our Twitter and then talking about it in the podcast to recap at the end of the week. Yeah, but it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You can find the information on our Twitter and Facebook, which I'll plug at the end, but... Moving swiftly on to another thing we've been plugging on our Facebook and Twitter. We have a contest, Tom, because we have a yes. Danish deal of the week.
Danish deal of the week.
I love your lilting tones. Essentially, I went...
I ripped that off from Harry Hill. I'm doing exactly what we shouldn't be doing.
Danish deal of the week.
Yeah, it was a good one.
There we go.
Yeah,
off top of my head, inspiration from funk.
You
but
see,
not
you put
stolen.
More hard work into that. Mine was very cheap.
I didn't really.
I didn't even think.
Yeah. But I walked into Bilka, a Danish supermarket, last week.
Where you can get bargains.
Where you can get bargains occasionally. Much like Tesco's in the UK or anything else, they will sell games through at a very cheap rate if they're looking to get rid of them. Mm. And I walked up there, not expecting much. They've had a few... very good 3DS titles such as The Chase Begins, Lego City Undercover Game for 100 krona, roughly about £10. And I looked at the shelf and there was a copy of Assassin's Creed Liberation for 30 krona, just over £3. I own it. I got bought it for Christmas. Thank you, Milan. And I thought, well, I can't just leave this year. I smell a contest. I picked it up,
well
30
done,
krona,
Matthew.
And then plugged it to death all week on our Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, we had a good response. Got
yeah,
a handful
we
of things.
Have a handful of
got like 20
names
entries
there.
To this. Yes. So yeah, good luck. I'm going to ask Thomas to pick a winner.
Oh,
I'm jingling
I love this
it.
Bit.
I don't know if you can hear
it's
it.
Great.
It's like a hamster chewing on a mesh. Oh, one's falling.
Oh, no. It's on there on the table.
Oh. Should we take that as an act of fate that one has fallen out, or should I throw it back in?
No, that's that you put it back in.
Okay.
Sorry, whoever that was.
Yeah.
Well, we have to.
You'll
do it
never
fair.
Know, anyways.
Matt already laid down the rules here.
I
am to pick one.
You need to enforce them, Tom.
Yeah.
Right, go on.
I can't see what any of them are, by the way. They're all screwed up. So I'm going to put my hand in now. I have a little bit of a root around, and you're the winner. Do you want to read it, Matt?
Yeah, go for it. And the winner of this is on a very scroll bit of paper.
When you've unwrapped, like you haven't folded them very neatly.
I didn't. I just kind of screwed them up into a ball.
Yeah.
It's my OSX Geek Girl on Twitter. One of our Danish followers.
Oh, great.
Congratulations! Yay!
That'll be easy to post. Cheap to post.
It will. Yes. So congratulations. We'll send it over to you, OSX Geek Girl on Twitter.
Great.
Yeah, good times. And then I guess what's left to do, Thomas, is to have our last new feature of the podcast.
Wow, there's so many new features this week. My head's going to explode.
Called The Week Ahead. And this is pretty much a summary of the games we can look forward to next week, some of which we may talk about on the podcast. Probably not, because I still want to buy Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton, which came out this week.
Is that... come out in a physical copy?
It has come out in a physical copy.
Okay,
only
wonder.
In Europe. Not out in the States again. It's another Bravely Default. Hooray!
How about that?
But yeah, these are the games coming out and that you can look forward to in the week ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an American gamer, don't be dismayed by the lack of Professor Layton. There's a new free-to-play game coming from Nintendo called Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, which is released on April the 3rd in America. Essentially, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept, Tom, but it's a new free-to-play game based around mini-games involving baseball.
Do you say free-to-play?
It is free-to-play. Oh. Comes with a free mini-game and then the rest of them are $4.
Okay.
However, has a unique twist. If you play the mini-game that's free, you earn donuts. You can then give these donuts to the dog and you can chat to him and pick multiple choice question answers and they reduce the game. Theoretically... Cool. If you put enough time into the game and play for free, you can lock every mini game for free within the game.
Okay, so it's kind of like paying the extra to skip a level on Angry Birds, isn't it?
Pretty much, but
if you don't have the patience, you can pay money.
Yeah,
but
well,
if you want to
play the mini game, I think you can play like a trial for free anyway, and then you can say like, "Hey, do you want to buy this game?" But they all tie into each other and they all do different things and stuff. But yeah, it's free to play out April 3rd. Spartan Assault, Halo game, hit Steam on April 4th. It was already available on the Xbox 360 and the PC. Now you can get it in Steam if you fancy a Twitch shooter. Elder Scrolls Online is released on the 4th of April, a game neither of us have any interest in, but if you like MMOs and Skyrim, why not?
And if you want to see a Let's Play of that, you can find one at blastprocess.com.
You can indeed. There's BlazBlue, Chrono Phantasm, which is out on the PS3 and PSN on April the 1st. Mm-hmm. So I guess, Thomas, you will probably download a demo of that if it's available.
I'll certainly try it out. I haven't played BlazBlue for a long while.
You have not. I'm still waiting on a new Guilty Gear. Arkham Origins, Blackit, the Batman game that was originally released on the 3DS and the Vita is now finding its way to the PS3 and the Xbox 360 as an expanded edition on April the 2nd.
As it's a downloadable title.
It is a downloadable title for both of the last-gen consoles. I don't think so. Perhaps you can. I know you could with Assassin's Creed, which also did the same thing.
Yeah.
So perhaps you can. And then a game I'm very excited to, Mercenary Kings, is coming out on the PS4 on April 2nd in Europe. And it's free for PlayStation Plus. Yay!
And PS3, is it not?
I think so.
I hope so.
Perhaps. Well, we can play it on my PS4 anyways. And then Dynasty Warriors 8 is released on April the 4th. Feels like there's been a lot more than 8 Dynasty Warriors games to me, but
yeah.
There we go. Yeah, also, I guess...
who cares about that one?
COD's stuff coming out as well on April the 3rd for Xbox Live. New maps, predators, clicky noises, 3 red beams.
Yeah. Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for the week ahead.
I
guess we had such a flux of games in March that, you know, it's kind of still waters now for a few weeks to let us play these things, which is good. What are you looking forward to playing next week, Tom?
Yaiba, Ninja Gaiden Z.
I will hopefully play a bit more of Infamous and Dark Souls 2. Yeah, and I guess that brings us to the end of this nicely formatted podcast.
Oh, it's beautiful. I think we've hit an hour.
We have, yeah, but like we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, I know, this is great.
Yay!
I hope you've enjoyed it.
I hope you have. If you like the changes to this format, then please let us know. If you haven't, tell us and we'll just go back to babbling about things. But... you can give us feedback on facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can tweet at us, which is where we mainly lie, on Twitter at TMAcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can also have a look at our videos on YouTube. Like we said, we will upload one on Fez and then maybe a few of the Game Boy games like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves up in the coming week.
I hope so.
And you can also listen to this podcast if you are listening to an iTunes, for example. You can listen to it on Stitcher on our website, which is Tom and Matt Attack. You can also listen to it through blastprocess.com.
Any which way you want.
Exactly. Hopefully, I'm going to look into this week as well, publishing us on Windows Mobile and Android, so will have native Tom and Matt coming at you.
Ooh.
Yay! And I'd just like to do a small plug. I appeared last night at the very early hour of 1 a.m. in the morning on a Future Retro Gamer podcast, which will be out sometime this week. I'll let you know on Twitter. So thanks to the guys over there for having me on. And also you should check out Adam Agro, who is at Red South City on Twitter, and his new game coming out through at Hyper Galaxy Team called The Specimen, which is going to release a trailer soon. Sounds very exciting.
Well, I'm
kind of Mega Man aesthetics in the difficulty, but also kind of heavily based off Lion King on the Genesis, apparently.
Oh my lord.
So I'm wondering how that's going to work. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So I guess.
As long as it doesn't have those annoying ostriches in it.
Oh, maybe not. I kind of like that level with the silhouettes, though. I thought that was kind of cool.
I just can't wait to be king level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was all right. I didn't mind that
too hard.
Much.
Anyway.
You know, it's not Aladdin. and until next week, then, guys, I guess. Game on!
Game on!